Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 31 in our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the last lessons, we have been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and where Jesus is depicted as a king. And during the course of the ministry, we see that the king is being rejected by his own people, the Jews. And Jesus takes a path of rejection as he goes to Jerusalem, and after he reaches Jerusalem, we see that Jesus is being tested by different kinds of people, because they want to put him down and discredit the work that he is doing. After the testings were over, and Jesus instead asked them a question which silenced the people, we see that Jesus goes into a series of different speaking different things. First of all, he rebukes the religious people. And in the last lesson, which is lesson number 30, we saw that Jesus was rebuking the religious Jews because of their hypocrisy. They were saying something and they were doing something else. And Jesus proclaims the eightfold woes against the Pharisees and the scribes because of their deeds, which is having no relationship with what God had instituted. And at the end of lesson number 30, we see that Jesus is speaking a pronouncement about the about Jerusalem and the temple. We come to lesson number 31, where before his final rejection, Jesus is speaking some prophecies of the kingdom, and this is something that he wants the disciples to know, what the future is going to happen concerning different people. And if we look into the prophecies that Jesus spoke concerning the kingdom, there are three different sections of the prophecy. First of all, he speaks prophecies concerning the kingdom of Israel. Then he speaks prophecy concerning the church. And thirdly, Jesus speaks prophecies concerning the nations. So, and this, all the prophecies are seen from Matthew chapter 24, verse number 1, to Matthew chapter 25, verse number 46. Because of the vast portion of the passage, we are going to take each of these prophecies and go into depth and go into each of the lessons. So, lesson number 31, we will look into the prophecy concerning Israel as a nation. And the text of our lesson today is Matthew chapter 24. And we will read from verse 1 to verse number 31. And this is the prophecy concerning Israel. And as we look into the prophecy concerning Israel, we can see that from verse 1 to 14, this is a prophecy concerning Christ going up to heaven until the consummation of this age. And then from verse 51 to verse number 31 of, from verse 15 to verse 31, this is the prophecy at the consummation of the age, which is the great tribulation and Christ coming to this earth and the gathering of Israel. So we are going to go into all this in our lesson today, and this is a prophecy of Christ concerning Israel. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 1. From verse 1 to 14, this is from Christ ascending to heaven to the consummation of age. This is the prophecy that Christ is speaking about. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Here we see that the Lord, he comes out of the temple. The passage, the end of chapter 23, we see that Jesus is speaking concerning the temple being forsaken and the house of God being desolate. But here we see that Jesus comes out from the temple. So the Lord coming out from the temple indicates that he has left the temple. And this was to fulfill the word that he spoke in Matthew 23 and verse number 38, where it says that, "Behold, your house is left for you desolate." This was concerning leaving the temple to the rejecting Jews as their house of desolation. And this is equivalent to God's glory leaving the temple in the ancient time. When we look into the book of Ezekiel and chapter 10 and verse number 18, we see that then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubims. So it is similar to the glory of God leaving the temple in those times, and the Lord is leaving the temple here. Now, when Jesus comes out of the temple, his disciples come to show him the buildings of the temple. The temple is that the Herod's temple is a magnificent architecture and building, and the disciples are trying to show Jesus the great extravagance of the buildings that is there. And so it refers to the entire the structure of the temple. And then verse number 2, and he answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall by no means be left here a stone upon a stone which shall not be thrown down." So this is a prophecy that Jesus makes concerning the temple, that there will not be left here a stone upon a stone which shall not be thrown down. And this prophecy concerning the temple was fulfilled in AD 70 when Titus and the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem. And it says that there was as he destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem and the temple, there was not one stone that was standing on top of the other. Everything was raised to the ground, which fulfilled Jesus' prophecy even to the last letter. So he speaks concerning the temple here in verse number 2. Verse number 3, "And he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the signs of your coming and of the consummation of the age?'" It says that he sat on the Mount of Olives. So Jesus with the disciples go up onto the Mount of Olives, where the disciples privately come to Jesus to ask him concerning what is going to happen in the future. So to receive the vision of the Lord's prophecy concerning this age, we need to climb the high mountain and come close to the presence of God, and God will speak to us the things that are kept hidden from the world. So the disciples come to him privately and they ask him, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming? So when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the consummation of the age? The disciples' question concerned three matters. Number one, the time when these things will take place, including not only the destruction of the temple, which was mentioned in verse number 2, but the things that were mentioned earlier in chapter 23, verses 32 to 39. Number two, the sign of the coming of Christ. And the third is a sign of the consummation of the age. So the Lord's word from chapter 24 verse 4 to Matthew chapter 25 verse 46 answers the disciples' questions concerning these three matters. And here we see, it says, what will be the signs of your coming and of the consummation of the age? Now, here the word coming is from the Greek word called parousia, which means presence. So Christ's coming will be His presence with His people. So the presence, which is parousia, will begin with the rapture of the man-child, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 5, and the rapture of the first fruits, which are mentioned in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 1 to 4, and will end with His appearance on the earth with the saints. So during the period of His presence or parousia, there will be the great tribulation, which we see in verse number 21, and also we read that in Revelation 9, 1 to 21, Revelation 11, verse 14, and Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 to 21. And this will begin with the supernatural calamities that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 6 verses 12 to 17 and Revelation chapter 8 verse 7 to 12, and also Christ descending on to the air, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 14 verses 14, and the rapture of the majority of the believers to the air, which is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 15 to 17, and also the judgment seat of Christ, which is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse number 10, and finally the marriage of the Lamb, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 19 verses 7 to 9. So all of these things are being explained concerning the signs of the coming and of the consummation of the age. Verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see that no one leads you astray. Now when we see the Lord's answer, this again has got three sections. The first section, which is from verse number 4 to verse number 31, concerns the Jews, who are the chosen people. The second section, which is from verses 32 to Matthew chapter 25 verse number 30, concerns the church. And the third section, which is from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to verse 46, concerns the Gentiles or the nations. So, the first section concerning the Jews should be interpreted literally, whereas the second section, which is concerning the church, should be interpreted spiritually, which is spoken in parables. And for the reason that is given in chapter 13 verses 11 to 13. The reason why Jesus speaks in parables is explained in Matthew chapter 13 verses 11 to 13. For instance, the winter in verse number 20 is the actual winter, but the summer in verse number 32 is a symbol signifying the time of restoration. And finally, the third section concerning the Gentiles should also be interpreted literally. So verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see that no one leads you astray. Some aspects of the prophecy from verses 4 to 14 have been fulfilled, and some are in the process of being fulfilled. At the time of the great tribulation, which will be the consummation of the age or the end of the age, the prophecy will be fully and finally fulfilled. Verse number 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will lead many astray. Christ is prophesying that there will be many false Christs, who are antichrists, who will come and say that that the impersonating the Christ and say that I am the Christ and will lead many people away from the actual truth. Verse number 6, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for it must happen, for the end is not yet. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. The wars here denotes all the wars from the first century to the present. And they are signified by the red horse of the second seal that we read in Revelation chapter 6 verses 3 and 4. He says that see that you are not alarmed, for it must happen, but the end is not yet. Here the end denotes the consummation of the age, which we have seen in verse number 3, and we also see that in Daniel chapter 12 verses 4 and 9 and also verses 6 to 7, which will be the 3.5 years of the great tribulation. Although verses 6 to 9 and 14 in this section concerning Israel, the tribulation and the preaching of the gospel mentioned in these verses take place generally in the whole world from the time of Christ going up to heavens or Christ's ascension to the end of the age. Verses 15, which immediately following verse number 14, speaks concerning the beginning of the great tribulation that we read in verse number 21, which is the time when the Antichrist will set up his image in the temple of God, which image will thereby become the abomination of desolation. So we understand that the end is not yet, and that is what Christ speaks about there. Verse number 7, for nation will rise up against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. The nation denotes the people, the Gentiles, and the kingdom denotes an empire. So nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And then it says there will be famines. So famines issue mainly from war. According to the history, war has often brought famine, signified by the black horse of the third seal in Revelation chapter 6. Verses 5 and 6. And it says there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Since Christ ascending to heavens, earthquakes have been occurring throughout all the centuries and will be intensified at the end of this age. We can see references of that in Revelation chapter 6 verse 12, Revelation chapter 8 verse 5, Revelation chapter 11 verse 13 and 19, and Revelation chapter 16 and verses 18. And then verse number 8, all these things are the beginning of the birth pangs. All these things are the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, birth pangs are for the bringing forth of a child. In his New Testament economy, God's desire and purpose is to bring many sons into the kingdom as his expression. Let us turn to a couple of verses here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. We read that, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Another verse we see in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, for it was fitting for him for whom all things are and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. To bring many sons to glory. So, the purpose of God is to bring many sons into the kingdom. So birth pangs here referred to the tribulations in the New Testament age that would include wars, famines, earthquakes, afflictions and persecutions, as mentioned in verses 6 to 9 and verses 21 of Matthew chapter 24. The birth pangs here are suffered only by the New Testament believers for the Lord's sake, whereas the travailing in birth, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 2, refers to all the travailings suffered through the generations by God's people in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. These revelations, along with the preaching of the gospel that we read in verse number 14, are used by God to produce His many sons so that He can constitute the church in this age, accomplish the kingdom in the coming age, and produce the new Jerusalem in the eternity as the ultimate consummation of the church and the kingdom, that He may have the eternal expression in the eternity future. This viewpoint is confirmed in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19 and Revelation chapter 12 verse 2 and 5. Verse number 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. This "you" refers to the Jewish disciples who were the prophets and the wise men sent to the Jews in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 24. Verse number 10, and at that time many will be stumbled and will deliver up one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and will lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be multiplied, and the love of many will grow cold. But he who has endured to the end, this one shall be saved. This Christ is referring to what will happen in the end times. And he speaks about that godly children of God will be delivered up to torture and tribulation and for killing, and they, you will be a source of hatred in the nations because of the name of Jesus. And at that time there will be many who will be stumble, and they will deliver one another and will hate one another. And in those days many false prophets will rise and will lead many people away from the kingdom of God. And because the lawlessness will be multiplied, many people's love will grow cold. But if you endure to the end, the one that will be saved. Now, speaking about enduring to the end, here it means that to be saved means to be saved from those who hate us. Eventually it means to be saved into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens as a reward to the overcoming believers. This is not the eternal salvation that was revealed in Ephesians 2:8, but this is to be saved into the manifestation of the kingdom of heavens. And that is what it means about the ones shall be saved. That means saved into the kingdom of the heavens. Verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom includes the gospel of grace that we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. Acts 20 and 24, it says, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So this is the gospel of grace, which is a part of the gospel of the kingdom. It brings not only people into God's salvation, but it also brings people into the kingdom of the heavens, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1 verses 9. The gospel of grace emphasizes forgiveness of sin, God's redemption, and eternal life, whereas the gospel of the kingdom emphasizes the heavenly ruling of God and the authority of God. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole earth for a testimony to all the nations before the end of the age. Hence, that preaching signified by the white horse of the first seal in Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 to 2 will be a sign of the consummation of this age. It says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. So the gospel of the kingdom is a testimony to all the nations or Gentiles, and the testimony must spread to the whole earth before the end of this age, the time of the great tribulation. And it says, and then the end will come. So this is what is going to happen till the end is going to come upon this age. The next section that we read is what is going to happen at the consummation of the age, which is from verses 15 to 31. And from verse 15 to 26, we see what is happening, how the great tribulation will come upon. From verse 15 to 26. Verse number 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. No one knows the length of the time spanning the events mentioned in verses 4 to 14. But the prophecy in verses 15 to 31 concerning the remnant of the Jews definitely will be fulfilled in the last 3.5 years of this age, the time of the great tribulation, the second half of the last week prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, which will begin with the setting up of Antichrist's image or the idol in the temple, and will end with Christ's open coming, which we see in verses 30. So it says that therefore, when you see the abomination denotes an idol. And example of that is in Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 17, in the American Standard Version, it says, it refers to abomination meaning an idol. So here it refers to the Antichrist image, which will be set up as an idol in the temple of God. Evidence of that is in Revelation chapter 13 verses 14 and 15 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. And also it denotes the beginning of the great tribulation, which is mentioned in verse number 21. So the idol will be another sign of the consummation of this age. It says the abomination of desolation. So literally it says abomination of desolation, which means literally the abomination which literally will cause desolation or desolating. So the abomination, the image of Antichrist, will cause desolation. Antichrist is also called as the destroyer or Apollyon, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 9 verse 11, and he will do much destroying. The evidence of that we see in Daniel chapter 8 verse 13 and verses 23 to 25 and Daniel chapter 9 verses 27. which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. The holy place refers to the sanctuaries of God's temple. Evidence of that is in Psalms 68 verse 35 and Ezekiel chapter 7 verse 24 and Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse number 2. Verse number 16. And let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take the things out of the house. But let him who is in the field not turn back to take his garment. So when the time of this happens, it says that those in Judea may flee to the mountains. And those in the housetop not come down even to take the things from the house. Those who are in the field not turn back to the house to take the garment. It will be a quick, sudden time when you will have to flee for your life. And verse number 19 says, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. For those who are pregnant and nursing babies, it will be a difficult time to escape, and it will be a woeful time for them. Verse number 20, pray that your flight may not be in winter nor on the Sabbath. Now winter is a time when escape would be difficult. So you pray that the flight would not be during a time of the winter, nor on a Sabbath. Now, why not on a Sabbath? On a Sabbath, one is allowed to walk only for a short distance. We see that in Acts chapter 1 verse 12, a distance that is not adequate for escaping. So the mentioning of Sabbath here indicates that the Jews will still keep the Sabbath after the restoration of the nation of Israel. The disciples, the audience of the Lord's word, has a twofold status. One as the representatives of the remnant of the Jews, and other as the New Testament believers who constitute the church. So in the section of the Lord's word concerning the Jews, which is from verse 4 to 31 of Matthew chapter 24, the disciples are representing the remnant of the Jews. Whereas in the section that concerns the church, which is from Matthew 24 verse 32 to Matthew 25 verse 30, the disciples represent the New Testament believers. So in the four Gospels, in the matters concerning the outward circumstances, the Lord treats his disciples as the Jews. But in the matters concerning the spirit and life, the Lord considers his disciples as New Testament believers. Verse number 21. For at that time there will be great tribulation as that has not occurred from the beginning of the world until now, nor shall by any means ever occur. So the great tribulation will occur in the last 3.5 years of this age. When we turn to Revelation chapter 11, and verse number 2, again we see about the great tribulation that is mentioned in more detail. Now at the end of this age, the Antichrist will make a firm covenant with the Jews for 1 week, which is 7 years, which will be the last week of the 70 years that God had appointed for the Jewish nation, as in Daniel chapter 9 verses 24 to 27. So in the middle of the week, that is in the first half of the 7 years, the Antichrist will break the covenant and destroy the worship of God. We read that in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. Then he will blaspheme God and persecute his people for 3.5 years. And we read that in Revelation chapter 13 verse 5 to 7 and Daniel chapter 7 verse 25 and Daniel verses 12 verse 7, which is the 42 months mentioned here and the last half of the last week of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, during which the Antichrist will also destroy the holy city Jerusalem. So according to Matthew chapter 24 verse 15 and 21, this last 3.5 years will be a time of the great tribulation, which will come as a trial for the inhabitants of the entire world. So this great tribulation that is spoken will have Jerusalem as a center and Judea as the circumference, whereas the trial that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 will have Rome as the center and the whole inhabited earth as the circumference. Verse number 22, and unless these days have been cut short, no flesh will be saved, and on account of the chosen, these days will be cut short. What does it mean? The great tribulation will last only 3.5 years. So it has been cut short. And on account of the chosen here refers to the Jews, the God's chosen people, that we see in Romans 11 verse 28. Verse number 23, and at that time if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or here, do not believe it. So the Jews rejecting Jesus as the Messiah and are expecting a Messiah who is yet to come, they need to be warned that Messiah, the Christ, will not rise here or there on the earth, but will descend from heaven to the earth. Verse number 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen. So the Antichrist will be the last of the false Christs who will work signs and lying wonders with the power of Satan in order to deceive the perishing. We read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3 and verses 9 and 10. And we see that not only false Christ, but also false prophets. Now, the another beast that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11, denotes the last of the false prophets that we read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, who will do great signs to deceive those who will dwell on the earth. We read that again in Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. It says that they will show or give great signs and wonders to lead many people astray, even possibly the chosen. So even the children of God, possibly some of them would be led astray because of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that the Antichrist, the false prophets and the false Christ will be performing. Verse number 25, behold, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. We see that the wilderness, behold, he is in the wilderness. The wilderness is where the person may go to separate himself from the world. His doing this might easily cause people to wonder whether he is the Messiah, as happened in the case of John the Baptist, who was led to the wilderness. We read that in Matthew chapter 3 verse 1 and John, Gospel of John chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. Do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. Inner rooms is also private rooms, a place where a person can make himself appear to be mystical to charm the people. As we start verse number 27, it speaks about Christ coming to the earth from verse 27 to verse number 30. For just as the lightning comes forth from the east, shines to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the second coming of Christ has got two aspects. One is a secret aspect relating to his watchful believers, and the other is the open aspect relating to the unbelieving Jews and the Gentiles. So the lightning here signifies the open aspect which will take place after the great tribulation that we have read in verses 19, 29 and 30. Whereas the thieves coming in verse number 43 signifies the secret aspect which will occur before the great tribulation. Lightning must be considered as part of concealed in a cloud, waiting for an opportunity to flash. In the similar way, Christ will be clothed with a cloud that we see in Revelation chapter 10 verse 1 in the air for the time, and then will suddenly appear like a flash of lightning striking the earth. So hence the Lord's coming like a flash of lightning will be the sign of the end of the Lord's presence. So it says that so will be the coming of the Son of the Man be, the which shows the public appearance of Jesus Christ. Verse number 28, wherever the corpse is, there will the vultures be gathered together. If you take into context verses 15 and 21, it implies that at the end of the age, the Antichrist will cause great tribulation, and it was he who will need to be judged and destroyed, and all the people in Adam are dead, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, and thus the evil Antichrist, who with his evil armies will war against the Lord at Armageddon. We read that in Revelation chapter 19 verses 17 to 21, which is in the eyes of the Lord a stinking corpse, good for the vulture's appetite. Furthermore, the scriptures, both the Lord and those who trust in him, are likened to an eagle. We read that in Exodus 19 verse 4, Deuteronomy 32 verse 11, and Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. And the swift destroying armies are likened to flying eagles that we read in Deuteronomy 28 verse 49 and Hosea chapter 8 verse 1. Hence the vultures here, being predatory birds of the eagle kind, refers undoubtedly to Christ and his overcomers, who will come in as a swift flying army to war against the Antichrist and his armies and destroy them at Armageddon, thus executing God's judgment on them. And this indicates not only that it is appearing, Christ with his overcoming saints will appear in the place where Antichrist is with his armies, and also that Christ with his overcomers will appear swiftly from the air like vultures. This corresponds with the flash of lightning in the verses that we read before. Verses 29, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So this is a strong proof that the open coming of Christ will take place after the great tribulation. Now, this supernatural calamity will occur in heaven after the great tribulation at the close of the end of the age. This differs from the calamities of the sixth seal and the fourth trumpet that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 6 verse 12 and 13 and Revelation chapter 8 verse 12, which will occur at the beginning of the great tribulation. Verse number 30, and at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the land will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We have no way of knowing when the sign is going to happen. However, it must be supernatural and clearly visible, perhaps like the lightning that is mentioned in verse number 27 that appears in heaven. We see that the tribes of the land will mourn. The tribes here are the tribes of the nation of Israel, and the land is the Holy Land. So at the Lord's appearing, the tribes of Israel will repent and mourn. We see the prophecies concerning to that in Zechariah chapter 12 verses 10 to 14 and Revelation chapter 1 verses 7. And it says they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It says that the tribes of the land will mourn, or literally the tribes of the land will beat their breasts and they will mourn with great agony. And when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. So by this time, the Lord will no longer be in the cloud, but on the cloud, appearing to the people on the earth. This is the open aspect of the second coming of Christ. And we see evidence of that in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, and Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 14. It says that the Son of Man will come on the clouds with power and great glory. So in Christ's first coming, He manifested His authority in acts such as casting out demons and the healing of diseases, which we see in Mark chapter 6 verse 7 and Matthew chapter 8 verses 8 and 9, to vindicate Himself as a heavenly King, whereas in the second coming, He will exercise His power to execute God's judgment to destroy Antichrist and his armies and to bind Satan for the establishment of His kingdom on the earth. Finally, we come to the end of the lesson, which is verse number 31, which Christ is speaking about the gathering of Israel. He says in verse number 31, and He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His chosen together with the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other end. After the great tribulation, at his coming back to earth, the Lord will gather together to the Holy Land the scattered Jews from all parts of the earth. And this will be a fulfillment not only of the Lord's word in Matthew chapter 23 verse 37, but also the promises of the Lord in the Old Testament. This concludes our lesson for today, lesson number 31, which speaks about the prophecy that Jesus made concerning the Israel, the kingdom of Israel. And in the next lesson, which is lesson number 32, we are going to look at the prophecy concerning the church. May God bless you.